Welcome to the Guaranteed Irish Business Podcast, where each week we're joined by leaders of Guaranteed Irish member businesses to chat about how they sustain jobs, communities and provenance. Supported by FBD Insurance, Ireland's largest homegrown insurer. Support. It's what we do.
Hello and welcome to the Guaranteed Irish Business Podcast. Hi there, I'm your host, Breed O'Connell, and I'm delighted to welcome Dr. Kieran Fallon, Managing Director from the Nature Trust, and Dr. Declan Little, Ecologist, Environmental and Technical Specialist. Gentlemen, you're very welcome to the Guaranteed Irish Business Podcast today.
Thank
you.
It's great
to be here.
I'm going to start with you first, I suppose, Kieran, and just in terms of setting the scene, the current forestry targets under the National Climate Action Plan are set at planting 8,000 hectares per year. However, as a nation, we are falling well behind this. Now, I know Guaranteed Irish Forest and ourselves, with you guys in the Nature Trust, are really working hard on a little project there to try and bring the attention, I suppose, to other businesses and to people in the community of how important all our roles are in trying to get involved and support and drive the climate action plan here. At present, approximately 11% of our country is under forest, with only 2% of it under native woodland. It's kind of frightening how little is in native woodland.
Yes.
And I'm wondering how many of us really know that in terms of Joe Bloggs, and how can we get that message through? 2% under native woodland. It is frightening.
Yeah, what encourages me is now I think there's more awareness of it. I think 10 years ago, certainly only specialists, only a very few people who were involved in forestry would have known. But now when I start off and mention that, people generally finish a sentence. People are aware of it now. It's got out there. And I think people are kind of surprised by it and concerned by it. And it does seem very unusual. Because, I mean, it's in our ancient history, our ancient Celtic history, of course, is full of references to forests and forest culture. And we look at forests in name places, very common. So it's there, it's in our background. But it was, you know, our forests were comprehensively removed over a series of waves. And 100 years ago, when the state was formed, historians differ, but not by all that much. They all think it was around 0.5% or certainly 1%, no more than 1% of forest covered at that time. So it was worse, and it's building back again, albeit at a slow rate. You mentioned 8,000 hectares a year, that they are the targets. They're very stretching targets. For the last number of years, forestry, afforestation as we call it, the planting of trees on land that isn't forested, has really been running at very low numbers, less than a quarter of that. And it's a mix between commercial forests, which are needed to produce the wood products the world needs, and native woodlands, which provide important services, including timber, but also in particular biodiversity and carbon sequestration, the storage of carbon.
Okay, so I'm really interested in that. In terms of, go back to the real beginning for people who are listening and saying, like, I want to do something, but I'm completely ignorant in this space. What are our native woodland trees?
I'm going to get Declan on that one because he's our ecologist.
Well, the I suppose the ones that everyone knows are the oak, and we have two species of oak. We have the pedunculate oak and the sessile oak, and they grow on slightly different soil types.
Well, I have to confess my own ignorance. I did not know there were two types of oaks. Okay, so keep going. What else?
Yeah, and then we have the ash, which we're all very familiar with, especially because Hurleys are made from
the ash. Yeah,
and we have cherry, birch, willow, alder, and then a very interesting one, Scots pine, which part of that story of the loss of our forest cover, we thought it was extinct, and only very recently through research and through pollen analysis and so on that we found that actually Scots pine has hung on at a couple of sites in East Galway and Clare. So so they're the main ones, and we have things like hazel, then we have spindle, guelder rose, and a range of small minor species, but we're not blessed with a huge range of native trees and shrubs compared to other countries, especially mainland Europe.
Okay, well, we're a small island nation. So Scots pine, I'm delighted to brag, it certainly is on the circumference of the Guaranteed Irish Forest up in County Mayo, isn't it, Kieran?
It is, absolutely, yeah. If you're allowed to have a favourite tree, it's my favourite tree. I think it's a beautiful tree. And we call it Scots pine, that's its common name, but it spreads all the way across Northern Europe. So a very common tree, but I think, a majestic tree, a beautiful tree. Produces lovely timber, and it's very important for habitat because it creates quite a bit of light on the forest floor, so it allows other things to happen beneath it. But we have, yeah, and the Guaranteed Irish Forest is a mix. Declan actually did the recipe for that site. Mm. So it's really matching up trees with soil types. And the Guaranteed Irish site that we walked and that we'll be planting very shortly, slopes. So on the drier parts of the site that the water won't tend to log, we go for the drier species. So that there we have Scots pine, and we also have some oak. Great. And in the wetter parts, we have things like alder and birch that really like being wet, don't mind having their feet wet.
Okay, so for people listening, explain the Nature Trust. You're the managing director of that. What's the function and the role of the Nature Trust, Ciarán?
The Nature Trust is simply there. It's a vehicle. It's a not-for-profit company which was set up less than 2 years ago. November the 17th is our two-year anniversary. So we had a meeting, our board meeting yesterday, and we're discussing our 2 years of existence. It is there really to deliver big climate change and biodiversity projects in Ireland by combining private finance and public finance together. So its history was, my day job is I'm director of Quilter Nature, which is part of Quilter, the state forestry company. And I was receiving a steady stream of inquiries from people who were interested in establishing native woodlands. And they all had great intentions and goodwill. And some of them had the resources to really make a difference. But I was turning them away because we had nothing for them to plug into.
Yeah.
And I started thinking, you know, we're missing something here. So we had a couple of conversations with people who were interested in funding and conversations with a player who was already in the market, a tech entrepreneur, a guy called John Beckett, who is an extraordinary character who runs, he's a tech entrepreneur, but had a real interest and real passion for climate change. Mm. And he'd set up his own company to plant up native woodlands to cover some of the emissions from his organisation. I spoke to John. We realised, actually, you know what, our ambitions are overlapping. We were very aligned. Our values were aligned. And we, because of our background, we had the kind of the potential to really help scale. So we threw a lot in together and we formed the Nature Trust, as I said, 2 years ago. And what it does is, really simply, it buys land. So it buys bare land on the open market that's available. We try to buy as big as we can, but because of Ireland's history, we tend to have quite fragmented land areas. We buy it. Declan's our buyer. He goes out and finds sites that he likes that are going to suit native woodlands. We plant up those lands with native woodlands and we manage them in perpetuity for funders like Guaranteed Irish.
We're going to go back to the Guaranteed Irish Forest in a minute. But Declan, I'm going to move to you because I'm really interested as to the availability or lack of land for forestry. And I hear the ads at the moment where they're really pushing farmers to consider taking that, and there's funding there for farmers to do that. Why are they so reluctant? Can they not see it as a revenue stream, or are there better revenue streams more competitive for them?
There's a few different, moving parts there. Mm. And one of them is that there are other competing land interests. So, for example, dairy farming. Mm. And leasing land is actually a very, you know, it's profitable at the moment. Mm. So if you put your land under forestry, you have to keep it under forestry. That's the law. It's under the Forestry Act.
Of course.
And I think that mitigates in some ways against farmers doing so, because they want to be able to, you know, be flexible, for example, and maybe move from one, you know, down the road they might see themselves going from dairy into beef or vice versa, or sheep.
However, aren't farmers under their own pressures in terms of environmental concerns, carbonisation, all that kind of stuff? Can forestry be made more attractive so the switch starts to come and it's more, you know, more of a balanced game, shall we say?
I think actually it's very attractive, in fairness to the Forest Service and the forestry programme, that the actual incentives that are there under the various schemes are very attractive. However, they need, you know, in order for that to work for them as producers on the land, you then have to target that forestry in places where you're going to get the most out of it in terms of water quality, biodiversity, carbon sequestration, all these things. And you know, there's a lot, we generally don't have an awful lot of time to sit down and think about all these things. And sure, farmers, they're going, well, look, is it just better off to keep my land,
yeah,
you know, keep my options open,
yeah,
or put it under trees, or, you know, you'd almost need someone to come in and plan that all out in a way. Mm. And that's actually what we do need. We do need some land use planning at that kind of scale if we are serious about meeting our targets.
Go on, Kieran.
I was going to say there's probably a cultural dimension to it as well, because as Declan says, the economic incentives are strong now. You know, there's a very good business case for forestry. But because we had such a comprehensive deforestation of the country, because we removed our forests, we kind of killed off the forest culture with it as well. So, you know, we think of the Irish landscape as being a farmed landscape. That's our popular imagination. And farmers think of themselves as farmers. They don't think of themselves as foresters. Whereas if you go to continental Europe, you'll see a farmer who is also a forester. So part of their holding is held in forests and they take firewood from it. They have they run some livestock through it. They do some agri-farming. It's part of the whole management. But in Ireland, we've moved away from forestry and regrowing that culture from a low base.
Takes time. And Kieran, is there enough space in Ireland to facilitate a farmer having both and two different revenue incomes?
I believe there is. I mean, we're in the public forest estate, so I'll let farmers, I suppose, speak for themselves. But I think there is. There's always parts of farms that can be well suited to forestry, areas that you know, may not be well suited to growing crops or keeping livestock, that can be put over. And actually, there's been a scheme that was opened up last year to try and facilitate small forests on private farms, which removed a lot of the red tape, because forestry is quite a regulated area. And, you know, if you're trying to start something small on a farm, that can be an inhibitor. So the scheme that was brought in was for micro forests, 1 hectare forests on private farms, to try and create a lot of these small forests. And these would be very important in terms of providing biodiversity networks and providing link habitats.
You could extrapolate actually that a little bit further as well, in that in the west of Ireland, where you have a lot of part-time farmers who have you know, day jobs as well as their farming, you know, you can target those areas for both biodiversity, forestry, high nature value farming, that type of approach. Whereas the bigger farmers in the east and the south, you know, you could target woodland specifically in areas that is going to mitigate the land use that they're, you know, undertaking there, that might be damaging, that could be damaging, such as, you know, water pollution and so on. So, you know, it's very nuanced when you get down to the ground level, and Kieran's absolutely correct about the cultural thing, because there is in places you find an antipathy towards trees, really. And like at one time there was, and this is a long time ago, you know, they say that a squirrel could have gone from Donegal to Wexford without touching the ground. And when you think about that, and then you go into, you know, even in mythology like the Toyn Boy Coolin and so on, we had started clearing our forest thousands of years
ago. And can I ask you then, Declan, why is it so important that we preserve the native woodland? Should we be forget about the native trees, if that's the case, if there isn't the desire, and as you say, a little bit of antipathy there from some of the farming
communities?
So tell me the benefits and why it's critical that we do this at this stage.
Well, the fragments that we have got there in themselves are still incredibly important as biodiversity reservoirs for the plants and animals that are uniquely attached to those type of habitats. That's I know that's very, very much the sort of specialist talk or so on, but it's true. There are species of plants, animals, fungi, lichens and so on that are uniquely associated with woodland habitats. And all you need to do is spread out from those areas. Now, that's just biodiversity. In terms of climate change, we're planting these forests and these will lock up greenhouse gases. For eternity, because we're not going to be harvesting the trees off them, and we're just going to expand those areas out. They also then are connected to each other by our hedgerow network. So again, in terms of the movement of plants and animals in our landscape, Ireland is unique in that it has a very good hedgerow network system. So you can actually get a good return on your investment in terms of biodiversity alone fairly quickly, I would suggest.
Yeah, it seems a lot faster than the whole reforestation project, if you like, in terms of the biodiversity aspect, isn't it?
Well, the biodiversity, absolutely. I mean, you've got all different habitats in between along your hedgerow networks and so on, but what I'm getting at is that when you create new woodlands, within 30, 40, 50 years, you'll have this migration of species along our hedgerow networks and along rivers and streams and so on, and they'll get there. And so you get this complexity of biodiversity that you are associated with woodlands.
You might ask, you know, why isn't, your question was, why is it important to have native trees? You know, I think it's a fair question. And, you know, it's really simply the history of Ireland. Ireland was, is an island, and it became separated from Britain and from continental Europe over time. So the trees that were trapped here, that got here, that reached Ireland, they then co-evolved with the plants on the island. So to pick an example, the two tree species that Declan spoke about at the opening of the podcast, the oak, the sessile and pendunculate oak, together they have relationships, ecological relationships, with over 3,000 other species of birds, of mammals, of lichens, mosses, fungi, epiphytes. And there's 300 species. Of those 3,000, there's 300 that are unique to the sessile and pendunculate oak, so only associated with them. So you could say, you know, it's really a function of time. They've just been here so long, they have co-evolved with things, and that's how nature works. If we brought in trees today from other parts of the world and left them here thousands of years, they would form associations. But they're new arrivals, and they stand alone. They haven't co-evolved. They haven't developed those relationships with other forms of life. And we believe biodiversity is very important, because the more types of things you have, the more resilient your ecology is, the better it can withstand shocks.
And it's funny, we need to make that story into small nugget bites to get it through to the consumer, to the user, to the people in the community, because it's for them at the end of the day. It's for all of us to benefit. Talk to me, Declan, in terms of the benefits that it brings to local communities in particular.
Well, it's fascinating, because over the 25, 30 years that I've been involved with native woodlands through various initiatives at local level, the sense of pride and ownership almost, and I don't mean that, I mean that they physically own it, but that it's theirs in their community. Once they understand what they have, and say they're involved in initiatives like acorn collection or clearing rhododendron, you know, invasive species and so on, then you'll find all sorts of things come out of the woodwork. Sorry,
pardon the pun.
But, you know, in terms of like the local people, older people living around these places and saying, oh, I used to know so-and-so, or I remember used to playing in there, but we didn't value it. But now we look at it very differently today because of our involvement with you through whatever initiative it was. So there's on a simple level, you have that, and it's part of, it's like as if they were it was part of the GAA, in other words, it's part of their local community.
That if you were speaking,
and it's really important. But then there's wider benefits like recreation in particular, and health benefits that we are only really getting a handle on now,
for sure.
And you know, over time, I think we will be able to capture that better and present that better as well to local people, so that when we're creating new woodlands within the Nature Trust, we will try and, as far as possible, ensure that there's a recreational element in it as well.
I really like that. And I think we all learned quickly during COVID how important that was. And we all had a real respect for our locality, our counter, our region. I suppose now is the time to strike in getting the message across, because there is an awareness, there's an acute awareness of how much we need it. And mental health, well-being, all that stuff is so critical, isn't it?
Absolutely. And one of the events we had recently with Guaranteed Irish and various others that are involved, you know, the sponsor of the Nature Trust, was Acorn Collection.
Well, I want to talk to you about that, because that was my next point. So two of my colleagues went acorn collecting, and I've been hearing about it ever since. So it's obviously very well-being orientated. They felt really positive and charged, supercharged, actually, I'd say, after it. Talk to me about it and what's involved and why it's such a big deal and so rare, actually.
Well, the basis of what we do in the Nature Trust has a very high ecological bar. Like, when we're out there and we're planting new native woodlands, we're trying to do the very best we can to optimise the biodiversity we create. So we use a template to do this, and we use only native Irish material to plant in these sites. So the seeds collected are from native woodlands around Ireland. They're registered as a national network. And on the staff that came out with us to Ballyganan Wood in Rathdrum were there on a fact-finding mission, really, but also to collect acorns. And fortunately, we had a fall of acorns, which we don't always get. We don't always get a crop of acorns in all the woodlands. In fact, this year has been very patchy. And so they got involved, and we said, look, we're trying to collect as many acorns as we can. They translate into trees that we plant out onto our sites. And they felt they were involved in doing something positive for the climate and biodiversity agenda.
Preserving, yeah, for sure. It's a brilliant initiative and it's something I'd love to see, you know, flourish, if you like. And I'm sure there are programmes planned for the schools and things like that, but it's certainly an opportunity, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I think Kieran will testify to this, that we're going to plan next year to broaden that, because we did have schools as well as, you know, private people even collecting. And there's a very strict code, as I say, or network there that we have to do it through, so that if you came down to our your woodland, the Guaranteed Irish Woodland, we say, tomorrow, and you said, where did that tree come from? We can trace that all the way back to the woodland where that seed was collected.
Total provenance. That's fantastic. Dick, or Kieran, I need to ask you a question. At Nature Trust, we obviously have a great relationship as a result of the Guaranteed Irish Forest. But tell me why the Nature Trust partnered with Guaranteed Irish. What was the benefit of it from your side? It definitely engages our members because they want to do the right thing in terms of sustainability and play their role. But why did you bother with us, if you like?
Well, no, we're delighted to be working with Guaranteed Irish. It's a brand we all know and have grown up with. Very well established brand. And we just felt it resonated with our brand because it's all about it's all about nature and Irish nature in particular. We're on a podcast now, so people can't see Declan's sweatshirt, which is a Nature Trust sweatshirt. It shows our, you know, the OM writing, which we use in our logo. So it's very much kind of focusing on sort of the culture of the island.
Provenance, I suppose.
Exactly.
As well, yeah.
We felt that connected well with Guaranteed Irish. Really pleased to have that partnership. And you guys have share the same values as us. And we only work with people that we feel are on the same wavelength as with us, because a lot of dubious greenwashing going on out there, and I think people are skeptical about that and have good cause to be skeptical, frankly. So I think it's great when you meet organizations and individuals that are in the same space to be able to collaborate and work together. I mean, the Acorn event we did last week, we were just speaking about, we do that quietly every year. You know, we go out with contractors who put nets under trees and they collect these acorns and bring them back, and we don't really involve anybody with it. And we thought this year, on a trial basis, let's just see if people enjoy doing it, and we can give them a little lecture and tell them about it. And just the energy was just fantastic, and the hunger to learn more was there. And we kind of feel, as part of our remit is actually to feed that and respond to that and do things around that. And, you know, if next year we're working our way around, other members of the Guaranteed Irish family are interested, we really delighted to scale up next year.
Brilliant. Well, that's brilliant. Inspirational work. What we really need to do is scale, I suppose, and get everybody has a role to play in this journey that we're on. I firmly believe that. The future of the Nature Trust, Declan, Kieran, I should say, talk to me about that. What's the next steps for it?
Well, you know, that's in play at the moment. We're coming up to our 2-year anniversary, as I mentioned, and actually we got together as a board yesterday. We're so fortunate. We have a really, really super board.
Brilliant.
So we had a really good session. I don't think we've landed at exactly what we want to be like in 2030, but we've very high ambition. We just feel that the scale of the biodiversity and the climate crisis is such that, you know, we should be in it to make a meaningful difference. So we're working out on that at the moment. The first 2 years are of a startup are, you know, for me as an MD, you're you know, making the tea, taking out the bins,
figuring it out, you're doing
a bit of everything. But to scale, to get to maybe, I think it's reasonable for us to be at 1,000 hectares a year within a number of years. We need to scale things up. Need to look at our model, we need to look at our staffing and looking at how we organise all that. But if anything, in the 2 years since we've set up, the case for the Nature Trust has, if anything, only become more compelling, and the environment we're working in has become more supportive. There's more funding sources, there's more appetite, there's more understanding of what we're doing. So I think it's going to be a busy future, and, you know, what it'll look like in the future, we got to work out. We got to look at the next generation, because Declan and I won't be around forever. So who do we bring in? How do we sustain this thing into the future? Because woodlands, as Declan has said, they're there for the long term. The stuff we're doing, the stuff we're going to plant with you guys soon.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
We'll be there well beyond
all of us. And that's a great note to end on. Now, we'd like to live forever, but it's not going to work. But maybe the trees and the biodiversity and the impact we're trying to create will continue on long beyond us. So I suppose that's as much as we can hope for. And as I always say, if we can leave the world a little bit better than we came into it on. We've kind of done our job, hopefully. Thank you so much, Dr. Kieran Fallon, Managing Director of the Nature Trust, and Dr. Declan Little, Ecologist and Environmental and Technical Specialist, for joining me today on the Guaranteed Irish Business Podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Please like, share and follow and review this programme if you found it interesting on the platform you're listening to on your podcast right now. Remember, by supporting businesses and initiatives that Guaranteed Irish are involved in, you are kind of helping to support businesses who support jobs, communities and provenance across the country. If you feel your business can benefit from networking with like-minded businesses here in Ireland, contact guaranteedirish.ie for more information. In the meantime, take care and enjoy the rest of your week. And as you go, look out for the G.
The Guaranteed Irish Business Podcast, sponsored by FBD Insurance, Ireland's largest homegrown insurer. Support. It's what we do.